a new government in Australia. What changes, if anything, for us? Is there any hope of the 501 issue? And what about Labor's stance towards China and the region in general? Former Prime Minister Helen Clark is with us. Good morning.
Good morning, Mike.
So you join us from Davos, of course, and we're all back and vaccinated, apparently. You're going to fix the world?
Well, a lot of discussion about fixing the world. It doesn't appear to have as wide a regional representation as in the past, and for the obvious reasons. The Russians aren't there, and I understand not many from China, and so pretty much a European North American show. But nonetheless, there'll be discussion on important issues.
All right, let's talk about what happened in Australia over the weekend. The link between New Zealand Labor and Australian Labor, does that materially make a lot of difference?
My experience is that whoever is in government in Australia, the New Zealand government has to get on with that government. You know, they are our closest friends. So, look, of course, there's good relations between Australia and New Zealand Labor, and I'm sure Jacinda Ardern and Anthony Albanese will work well together. But you have to make it your business to work well with whoever is elected across the Tasman.
Do you see any change to the 501 situation at all?
Well, we live in hope. I mean, that's pretty tough on people who've lived their whole lives in Australia, in effect, and have the New Zealand birth certificate, but not much more experience of New Zealand. So I'm sure that'll be something high on the government's agenda to be taking up with the new government.
The only way I can see around that is if they limited access to us, for example. You'd need to change the visa system. We wander into their country and then we complain when they boot the troubled ones out. You can't, in a way, as much as we don't like it, you can't blame them for that, can you?
Well, in the end, what is very important to us is the Trans-Tasman travel policy. We still have privileged entry to Australia. You know, in effect, these are free. I mean, they call it a visa at the airport. But basically, as we know, you wave your e-passport and you're through. Now, you know, every New Zealand government will work very hard to keep that privileged access.
As far as the region's concerned, Labor's view, Australian Labor's view on things like China, the Solomon Islands, does that change dramatically, do you think?
I don't think Australia's security positioning changes dramatically. They will, I would assume, have a good look at the arrangements to buy the different submarines. They left some options open on that. They didn't come out against that new UK-US-Australia relationship. I see Anthony Albanese is due to fly north to the meeting with President Biden, which is a meeting of the so-called Quad of countries with India and Japan. So I wouldn't expect to see a lot of different security positioning. The ALP, like the Liberals, have always held the American alliance pretty close.
I don't know how closely you followed it, given you are on the other side of the world, but there was a move away from the major parties. Independents did well. The Greens did well. Is there something to be read there if you're trying to mop up too much of the centrist vote in a time of difficulty post-COVID? There's a bit of anger and frustration there and people want to find some sort of alternative?
I think it's a fascinating election. Two-party share, major two parties, fell to under 70%. And the big, when this, obviously the Greens, their vote was up. Both the Coalition and Labor were down. And there's this fascinating phenomenon of the so-called teals, which are like the blue-greens of old in New Zealand. So I think there's a pretty clear message to the two parties there. This almost produced an MMP-type result without MMP. And it's... But the people who come in, these teals and the greens, they want action on climate. They want action on integrity in government. They want gender issues treated seriously. So I think there's some pretty tough messages to the Liberals there. I mean, ironically, their primary vote is higher than Labor's, but they just didn't have the friends in the parliament to carry through on the two-party
While I've got you, your comments and report last week on COVID and this work you've been doing and that the world basically has learnt nothing, as sad as that is to report, was it ever going to be any other way?
Well, I think it could have been in a different geopolitical context, because if you look at what happened post the Chernobyl nuclear disaster, the member states of the UN negotiated two new conventions within 5 months. Now, here we are with no likelihood, really, of amendments to the international health regulations or any new treaty or convention until 2024. That'll be 4 years after the pandemic began. So the world does blunder on. I think there's a lot of lack of trust, lack of sense of urgency. And also, it does need to be picked up by the UN in New York. The World Health Assembly is focused with health officials and health ministers, not the key drivers in government. Let's face it. It needs more grunt and oomph behind it than it's getting.
All right. Appreciate your time. And you enjoy Davos. Helen Clark with us.